Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Massachusetts's largest federation of unions has a new president. Chrissy Lynch takes the helm of the state AFL-CIO during a big moment for labor. She's also the first woman to head the organization, and she joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So labor movements nationwide have seen some historic victories recently, and a lot of people think we're at a turning point with unions gaining momentum. Is that how you see this moment?
Yeah, I do. We are very much a movement of inclusivity and intersectionality, and the proof is in the pudding, and I think we have momentum. Workers and unions make nearly 20% more in wages than our non-union counterparts. You know, we're more likely to have health benefits. We work in safer workplaces. We have more job security. And we've done some recent polling, and we found that nearly 90% of people under 30 have a favorable view of unions. That poll's higher than chocolate and vanilla ice cream.
What do you want to do with this momentum? What are your goals?
We want to grow the middle class. We want to improve the lives of working people across the board, whether they're union members or not. And we want to create an economy that works for everybody. We all agree that the best way to do that is to organize more people into unions and negotiate those union members' strong contracts, but while also being active politically and legislatively so that we can protect good laws that support good lives for working people, regardless of all the ways that the right wing has tried to divide us, which is by race, by gender, by ethnicity, by immigration status, by who we love.
You mentioned right-wing politics. Is that what's on your radar? Is that what you feel like you're reacting to right now?
We just got through the Trump years. Other countries, you know, have certainly seen other right-wing leaders who have tried to use divisive language to pit working people against one another. We in the labor movement, we don't take that lightly. Part of building solidarity is rejecting some of those false choices.
I mentioned in the introduction that you're the first woman in your position. I mean, what do you think? Is that overblown or is it a big deal?
You know, I think it's a big deal. You know, when I graduated from college, there were very few people my age in labor spaces back then. And there were even fewer women. I think back to some of the women who were in that space back then. And I remember just being floored by how much they looked out for each other. And how much they looked out for me, frankly, to make sure that I felt empowered and that I had a place to go with questions.
There are competing campaigns to get questions on the ballot in the next election regarding ride hail and food delivery drivers. One would classify them as independent contractors. The other would give them the right to become unionized workers. What's at stake with those questions?
If Uber and Lyft are successful here in putting a whole class of workers, you know, because they're on an app, they're okay to be considered independent contractors. It's going to have a ripple effect in not only other sectors of work, but it's going to keep draining our social safety nets. It's going to leave consumers vulnerable. Their game plan is kind of like privatize all the profit, but put all the risks onto everybody else. How that's playing out here in Massachusetts really has the eyes of the entire country.
What other big factors are impacting the labor landscape?
Two things that are on my mind a lot. COVID brought all of these kind of societal problems to a head. It really exposed sort of the inequities. But right now, we're still in a reckoning with some of the aftermath. Like, for example, you know, remote work, it has helped a lot of people achieve more work-life balance, which is great. But it's also changed local economies with some restaurants not returning, with some office space going vacant. That leads to less hospitality jobs. It leads to fewer new office buildings, you know, which means less construction work. The other big thing is how we tackle the very scary threat of climate change. But how do we also ensure protections and a just transition for the workers who have spent their careers providing gas-based energy? And how do we ensure that equity is at the center of decarbonization and climate resilience so that we're also growing the middle class, diversifying the labor movement?
Chrissy Lynch is the president of the Massachusetts AFL-CIO. Thank you very much.
Thank you.